Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone in here on this bright, sunshiny morning. We've got a nice ray of sunshine coming through our windows here. Mr. Kevin Donaldson's here with me this morning. We're going to be, of course, talking about some of the things going on with our health crisis here in this nation and the state and, of course, here in Tennessee and then all the way down to Clay County. But before that, we may wander off on a couple other things while he's here with me this morning, and then Mayor Reagan is going to come by here. He's got a meeting going on right now, and he's going to come by and join us. I think they had one of their first online or audio-visual meetings with the county commission the other night. We'll talk a little bit about that and some of the things going on with the changes here in the state with the lifting of some of the restrictions on the virus thing. So we'll be doing that, but first off, we'd like to thank everyone for being with us here this morning, and we're going out here in live and living color to all the folks that are having to sequester at home at this time here, and we hope you enjoy being with us this hour, and hope we have some information that you will find useful and entertaining. And we'd like to thank the folks that make this possible each Thursday morning here at 9 o'clock on WVFB-FM. That is the Three Star Committee, the Chamber of Commerce, and, of course, all the great folks that advertise here on the radio station. And I'd like to remind everyone to visit and patronize our local merchants. And as we said before, don't take all your money to Cookeville. And I think that may have slowed down a little bit during this time. So a lot of folks are doing more local shopping. And maybe some of them will rediscover that some of the things they were going somewhere else to get, that they're just as good a bargain right here in the city limits and or in the county limits of Clay County, where these same products are here and you don't have to drive to Florida to get them. But, you know, it's been a tremendous change in our lives in a very short time. But as we're beginning to realize, it's going to take a whole lot longer to come back, to go back to where we're at, than it has to get to where we're at right now. I don't know if you can kind of follow that sentence. But with that, I think we'll take a little short break. We'll come back. We've got our birthdays and anniversary club today, where we'll be giving away one of those delicious ice cream cakes from over to Salina Dairy Queen. And then lots of other things to talk about. Just here in a minute.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back, everyone. As I said earlier, before we left, got Kevin here with me this morning. But before we get to that, Kevin, I have got a couple of days in history here. Let me turn this thing off.
No, we didn't come in prepared this morning. Mine rang a while ago, too.
I picked up a couple. They looked like there were about five or six things. Some of them were kind of interesting. In 1915, if you're a history buff at all of any kind, you recognize the name Lusitania, the American passenger ship that was sank off the coast of Ireland in 1915 with 1,198 lives lost, which really was got us into World War I. The war to end all wars,
right.
That didn't really fully accomplish its goal, as we still realize today. And then also with the in the area of wars, this was the day that the German army unconditionally, officially surrendered at Reims. So you know, this is the official end came with signing the treaties and things, but this is the day they unconditionally surrendered. And I kind of like this one, too. In 1904, the Flexible Flyer trademark was registered.
Say that again.
The Flexible Flyer.
Now, that's not ringing the bell with me right off the bat.
How about Radio Flyer?
There we go. All right. that helped, yeah.
I think the Flexible Flyer, and you may have seen one of them, was the little cart that had the handle you pulled on it back and forth. I think that's one of the first things they did. But that was the Radio Flyer, the Red Wagon Group.
Right.
I thought that was kind of neat. And then in 1914, something coming up here, it establishes Mother's Day on this day in 1914. And next two here, in 1952, the concept of the integrated circuit board, the basis for all modern computers, was first published by Jeffrey Doomer. And that was in 1952. And then in 1982, IBM released PC-DOS version 1.1. And all of you folks that are using the little point-and-click things now where you can actually take your finger and stick it on the screen and roll your phone down and all that kind of things. Sometimes when you're kind of sitting around not doing anything and you're looking at a web page, there's a little button on your computer that says Source. Go over and click that thing sometime and just see all of the typewritten commands that it takes for your mouse to click on a button on a computer.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, sometimes there are like a page where somebody had to write down something that tells that computer to open and close those ones and zeros on it to make that happen. You know, we're all now spoiled, and of course, when this first started, you had to type all those things out, write all that, and there were different versions of the types of languages you had to learn and that type of thing. And also, if you even now with Windows, a lot of those old DOS commands are now known as what we call shortcut commands on the keyboard, where you can do a lot of things with your fingers instead of the mouse.
Extremely handy if you learn it. And once you learn it, it's almost like you do it unconsciously.
You know, like, I mean, there's a key on there. If you type a sentence and want to repeat it, you hit that key and it'll just keep repeating that sentence for you just over and over again. So, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. You know, even no one really studies DOS anymore. There's no such thing as a DOS machine that, you know, we use because we got lazy here and once this thing got up and got going. I know
we're spoiled in a lot of ways, aren't we?
Yeah. Compared to, speak for yourself, Kevin.
Well, there you go.
But good morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
And I know Kevin is here this morning, and I guess, Kevin, you want to go through some of the things that are canceled, postponed?
Well, we could do that. I guess it just really struck me at the first of this week in going and looking at our events calendar, which we compile several months ahead, some things a year out. And with the postponement of the Clay County Fair and the Sesquicentennial and the cancellation of Homecoming Days, our first scheduled public festival or celebration is now in September. I mean, that's still a long way off, but that's the first we've got. And I cannot see under the current circumstances, any of those postponed events being moved up, you know, further. So, we're going to be in an interesting dry stretch in terms of public celebrations, festivals, things like that.
You know, and that's it's a big deal in small communities. It brings in a lot of revenue in, it brings visitors in, and, you know, those are some of the kind of the things, you know, I know we look at the economic side where things are actually closed, but the day-to-day things, of course, are a tremendous deal, but, you know, some of these things, we have a lot of charitable organizations, groups, you know, that actually depended on these things.
Oh, yeah, we sometimes forget this. The events are typically fundraisers either for something or for that event for the next year. It's easy for us to forget that, you know, when we have free live music on the square, it's free to the public. It's not free. You know, can you get a band now, Thomas, for less than $500 or $600? There's no way, is
there? No. I mean, we still have... Thank goodness for the bluegrass musicians in this area. They left the place, so they'll come out, and very few of them ever consider charging you. Sometimes you may have to pay somebody that comes 200 or 300 miles off, give them, pay their gas or something.
But right.
They just love to perform for people, it seems like. You know, they're a different breed of musician. They just like to get together and play music. But, and to get anyone anymore, it seems like it's a minimum of anywhere from $500 to $1,000.
Oh, yeah.
In our little community.
Yeah. Well, and again, the fundraising aspect, if you miss a year of whatever event that is, that puts you way behind toward the next year. You know, the fair is pretty much self-sustaining, as I understand it, although a lot of people contribute to the program and various things. But and then Homecoming Days, of course, is a fundraiser for the Clay County Museum. Now, if I'm remembering right on the books, they're going to be looking at maybe having an online auction to make up for some of that money that won't be raised that's used to maintain the museum. But it's and all the events and festivals pretty much fall in that category. Of course, you and I have been on the Sesquicentennial Committee for, goodness, over 2 years now, right?
Yeah.
I guess 2.5 years maybe. And, you know, it takes money to hold events, and, of course, any excess money raised through the Sesquicentennial, and I know you've had Melissa White on here, and Melissa can explain it a lot better than any of the rest of it, would be to help preserve the courthouse here. Any excess funds would go toward that. So, you know, it's not just about entertainment and culture. It, unfortunately, it is about money, too. It really is.
You know, you mentioned there, you know, with the preservation of this courthouse, we have gone through all this thing, you know, like you said, with the grants and things, and we just received another little small grant that we may talk about a little bit later, but, you know, a lot of people don't realize, you know, they say, well, why don't you do this, why don't you do that? You know, we have had some folks to come in, and after we did that study about, 6 or 7 years ago where they published the book, that came in and looked at this place, and we're talking about 6 or 7 years ago, and to do mainly, I guess, to kind of just shore the place up, replace, repair, and do all those things, the estimate back in those days was over $250,000.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's probably, maybe it might be close to double that now.
Very well could
be. And, you know, there's, in this community, you know, the best we can hope for, unless someone somewhere reaches out, or we can reach someone like that, it seems it's just like the cat eating the grindstone we used to hear about. It's just one little bitty bite at the time, isn't it?
And Thomas, it's now you correct me if I'm wrong. It's appropriate to say the courthouse is structurally sound.
Absolutely.
But there are a tremendous amount of cosmetic things that really need to be done. And it's not a matter of it being, well, cosmetic is like elective surgery or whatever, you know, but that's not the case. You know, there are a lot of things that need to be dealt with, and I was so glad to hear that you got that. We called it a small grant, but it's still several thousand dollars.
Yes, it is.
To help preserve the windows here, but there's other things that need to be done to the doors and windows.
Soffit
go beyond that.
Then,
yeah,
I know a lot of folks see the soffit work outside now that's caused by poor guttering a number of years ago that are kind of the paint's come off of them again, and
right.
it looks pretty rough. But, you know, hopefully that's something we can get taken care of this summer. But with the windows here, I guess a lot of folks may not realize, unless you come inside the courthouse and look outside the windows here, but I don't know if these windows have ever been reglazed since 1873,
I guess it was completed, right?
And if you look through the windows, probably at least 95% of these windows are hand-formed original windows.
Absolutely.
That went in these windows in between 1870 and 1873. And they're at the point now that the I guess maybe if the correct puff of wind ever got through a door downstairs, that a lot of these window lights would just basically pop out of this old building.
And Thomas, again, correct me if I'm wrong. I may have the numbers skewed just a little bit here, but last year we were trying for a grant, and we had to get an estimate on what it would cost to restore the doors and windows. And that was on the other side of $50,000, right?
Yes,
that's to take them apart, restore them, put them back together. You can't. To stay on the National Historical Registry, you can't just come in and put new vinyl or whatever kind of windows here. You know, you've got to maintain the historical integrity, and that's a steep process, an expensive process.
You know, we're now looking at doing as we can, and that is putting storm windows on the outside of the windows here.
Right.
And someone said, well, why are we putting storm windows up? Well, you know, we started out talking about on the windows and talked to some folks that did this, and they told us, you know, the smart idea is go ahead and put storms on the outside, and that will allow you then to repair the windows one at a time over the years,
right,
and not have to shutter them down and close the courthouse down.
And that may be the way that this situation has to be tackled, is a little bit not in one fell swoop, but just a piece at a time. You know, that the dollar amounts are not is big that way.
You know, this grant would take care of what it really won't do, hardly half of the putting storms on half the windows in this building. So, but it's a step, and you know, next year we might get the rest of them. But you know, or if there's any generous person out there that would like to continue.
If you've got a few extra $100 or $1,000 laying around.
Yeah, and you want to, we might even put a little plaque on there and say, this storm window is donated by.
There you go.
Kind of small, because we don't want to get too gaudy here with our things here. But and we've got some other interesting news coming down the line here a little bit later, too, about Salina, Clay County, and in and around the courthouse here. So, you know, things are looking up for us. Even we keep planning, keep working, and, you know, things will get back to normal, and we'll have another bluegrass show upstairs, and we'll have one of our celebrations out front, bring our stages around the square here. And I do know also that did the mayor talk about the sidewalk grant last week? I'm not sure about that. I know we just, you know, from TDOT.
I got to listen to most of the show, but I'm not sure. I didn't catch every single moment, so I'm not sure.
I was out just living. I missed part of that. But, you know, we got that that grant. I apparently, you know, that it's here for us. The city's got to do their match part and all those type things. And it's kind of a version of the thing we talked about a few years ago with a few changes. I know they're looking at now. It's along Highway 52 and sidewalks. And I think I looked through the grant and it said also other pedestrian enhancements, whatever that means, that kind of thing. And it's to go from Green Street to College Street.
That's correct. Whereas if my memory serves me right, the original proposal started at the four-way intersection of Highway 52 and 53 below the hospital and came just to the area there where the pizza shop is, that first four-way stop. So in my mind, this will better serve us by moving it further this way and on into town and around part of the square here.
Well, with that, let's take a little short break, come back, and we'll do a little COVID update. Good morning, Mayor. Mayor Reagan just walked in.
Good morning.
And we'll get him move over a little closer to the microphone here in a minute, but we'll be back just in a minute.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with Mobile Deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back, everyone. Great to be back here. Here in a few minutes, we'll talk about our birthdays and anniversary before we go to our next break. But, Kevin, you want to do a little update this morning on the COVID status here in Tennessee?
In terms of numbers, we can do that. Thomas, let's go just, I guess, to Clay County first. I just realized this morning we've had our first case added in a while. I think that's been at least 2 weeks. We're now up to, but just by one, 6 total confirmed cases, 5 have recovered, and there have been 259 negative labs. So if I do my math correctly, we've tested 265 people in Clay County and had, I'm going to say only 6 test positive. So it seems like whatever we're doing here in Clay County, we're doing it fairly well, but there have been throughout this a lot of folks stirring, but glad to know that there's only been that many cases.
Well, you know, that may prove something. That maybe we just don't like each other, don't get too close to each other here, Rick. And no, I'm just kidding.
Looking at it statewide now, again, this is the 2 p.m. yesterday numbers. I think they've actually unofficially updated that a little bit. It was showing 13,900 and some change total cases in Tennessee, and I'm pretty sure I saw 14,000 plus this morning on TV, so I guess they've updated that. Again, just doing rough math, about 50%, between 45 and 50% of those cases have recovered, and there have been, unfortunately, 239 deaths in the state of Tennessee. Just some more miscellaneous numbers. It looks like Davidson County has passed Shelby County again. They're kind of going back and forth on that. Davidson County's got 3,128 total cases. Shelby County, 3,010. Also of note, I'm just looking literally at the map on the State of Tennessee website, and there's only two counties that have not reported a case yet. One of them's right next door to us, our neighbor to the direct east, Pickett County, and also Hancock County. Again, two of the smallest, I'm thinking Pickett County may have the smallest population in the state, and Hancock is about like us. So two very, very sparsely populated counties, which seems to be the case. I mean, the more wide open spaces you've got, the fewer cases you're going to have as a percentage of the population. It's working out that way.
Kevin, I don't mean to interrupt here, but testing of those two counties, can you?
I can. Hang on just a minute. Give me just a second. Let's see. I mentioned Hancock County, right? Hancock County has tested 81 people. Pickett County has tested 182.
Okay, now I think the significant difference on that was Pickett County was one of the designated Sunday.
Right.
They were, and I don't know, and I'm sure we could find out, but I haven't. If you test in a county that you don't live in, where's it recorded? Yeah. I don't know the answer to that either. Have y'all?
I'm just wondering about that because
right.
They were one of those designated.
They were in the first weekend, I believe, weren't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now I think that I've been asked that question, and I need to ask it a little bit further into the Department of Health. But I believe it's whatever address that you turn in.
Okay.
Is the address that gets
that's where it's
recorded
to.
I think. I may be wrong about that.
The mindset up there may be we don't have any. Let's make sure we don't have any, and if we do, let's take care of it. Preempt as much as we can.
Well, it logically it should be recorded in whatever county
right.
That person originates from, but I really didn't know if that's what they were doing or not.
And I need to look into that, I will. We'll check into that and see for sure.
And Kevin, I think maybe it's a couple of policy changes. Well, one major policy change, maybe a couple, is, and that is some of the places that they were testing now, like the and the incarcerated prisoners.
Yes.
And also more emphasis placed on the rehabilitation centers, that some of those numbers in some of the counties, especially with our in Davidson, and we look at the one down in Trousdale County.
Yeah.
Are all those positive tests in Trousdale County at the Turner Center?
Turner Center.
Is their address there in Trousdale County now?
I would assume that's where they
you want to look see what Trousdale's number is.
Trousdale has a big number.
Yeah.
Unless I'm looking at the map. Let me scroll down and look at the. Oh yeah, it's recorded there for sure. Yeah, they've got 1,355 in a county of about 10,000. But the prison and it was interesting there, if I'm remembering right. So much information these days. They had that incredibly high percentage of people who tested positive in that facility there, and an incredibly high percentage of those people had no symptoms whatsoever.
Yeah.
None. They tested positive but were not symptomatic at all.
And that's something I don't think that they've really been able to, according to the commissioner the other day, that they were still looking into that to see, they've not really figured out why that is.
And time will tell on that as well. They may be symptomatic now.
Okay, looks like we've made it about halfway through a show this morning. I guess we might all take a few minutes here and read our birthday and anniversary list and come back, let everyone catch their breath and collect all of our thoughts. Sometimes our thoughts at this age kind of wander off, don't feel like sometimes we're open range, aren't we, instead of fenced in with our thoughts. But we'll gather some more things, and we'll be back after this. But celebrating birthdays this past week, Miss Bonnie Denton celebrated a birthday on the 5th, and this was called in by her Aunt Odell. And looking on down through, these aren't in any particular order this morning, Rachel Burks celebrated a birthday this past week. I think hers was on the 4th, and this was called in by her nanny and papa, Anna Nant. and I'd like to wish her a happy birthday, and also wish Mr. Paul Hale out in Moss happy birthday on May the 3rd, and then also Will Smith out at Moss, his grandma Liz, and all the rest of the family, and his church family, and all those folks would like to wish him a happy birthday. And then this one may have been listed over in Tompkinsville also this past week. Mitchell and Flossie Pennington celebrated an anniversary. Mm. Anybody care to guess for how long?
I'm not.
How many years, Randy?
A few days.
70? 70 years. And I know,
well,
Mitchell and Flossie also have lots of connections in Clay County. Yeah, I think they were Clay County residents for a number of years. And also, out in Miles, Mr. Randall Gass celebrated a birthday on the 1st. And then, let's see, we've got Sherry and Mike Barlow celebrating a wedding anniversary.
You don't know them, do you?
No. Mr. Brian Bowles celebrated a birthday. And then also, I think this week, Lola Jean Dillon celebrated a birthday.
I saw that on Facebook.
Down in the rehab center. And we'd like to wish all these folks a happy birthday. And we'll come back here toward the end of the show and using our highly sophisticated non-computerized selection system, we'll choose one of those, and they'll be able to go by the Clay County Chamber and pick up that gift card and take it over to the Dairy Queen and trade it in for one of those birthday cakes. And with that, let's take a little short break. We'll be back just in a few minutes.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed. And you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Come grow with us.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm sitting here with our, the CEO of the chamber and also the county mayor. And we've got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about, but I think Kevin right now, he wants to talk just a little bit about the census. If you've been looking online, you'll see some of our numbers with the census here in Clay County. Kevin, go ahead if you would.
Well, I know we beat this census horse to death for about the better part of a year now, but we need to, and we'll continue to do that. I just want to let everybody know that we are falling a little bit further behind on the self-response rate in comparison to the state and national averages. Now, here's where the numbers are now. Tennessee self-response as of this morning, 56.7%, which mirrors the national average. I think the national average is 57 and change, and we're at 42.5%. We were about 8 to 10% behind the state national averages for a long time, and now we're getting down close to 15. And this doesn't mean that everybody won't get counted, but if we go ahead and self-respond, it greatly increases the chances that everybody will be counted. And in a county like ours, I just cannot emphasize how important that is. 10 years ago, we had about a 58 or 59% self-response rate. That means basically 6 out of every 10 people took care of that on their own, and the rest of the folks had somebody knocking at the door. Now, let me emphasize this, and most of our listeners may be folks who have already responded. If you don't want a census worker to knock on your door, respond on your own. They will knock on your door if you do not respond by... Actually, that date's coming up, but they may have moved that back some. Around the 1st of June, they had made plans, the Census Bureau had, to start going door to door then and knocking. So if you don't want to answer the door, just take that 3 or 4 minutes. That's all it takes, whether you do it by paper. And everybody should have received a paper questionnaire by now, probably at least one reminder. And we got ours earlier, I think, here than most places did. And you can do it by phone if that's what you want to do. And if you have online access, folks, that's just so easy. That's a 4-minute process if you got 2 people, and you know, even if you got a house full, if you've got 5 or 6, it's still not going to take but just a very few minutes. So we really need to urge everybody to respond. And the reason it's so important for us to respond, and I know Mayor Reagan will touch on this too, is the funding we get from the state and federal government is based on population to a large degree. Some of it is, at least. And there was, I think I'm remembering this number right, $675 billion at stake in this. We need to make sure we get our share. And I hope the numbers, and I'm sure it'll be sometime next year when we get them, will show that we have not continued to lose population. Now, I'll throw another number in here that we got from the Upper Cumberland Development District, and they're just distributing. Their numbers are coming from higher up the food chain as well. Projections are that Clay County will have lost another 3% of its population. Now, I hope that's not right. And the more people we get counted, the more we can buck that trend. Hopefully we can do that. But we were one of only 5 or 6 counties in 2010 that lost population. We really need to stop that trend. We've got a trend, I know I'm beating that word to death, going all the way back to 1940 of losing population in Clay County. We've had 7 censuses since then. We've lost people in 5 of those 7 censuses, and it looks like we're headed for 6 out of 8. But regardless of what that shows, we need to make sure that everybody that is in Clay County gets counted now. And I know Mayor Reagan's got some more light to shed on that as to why we need to do that.
Well, that being said, that's very important because, you know, and I know that 2 years ago you might run into somebody and ask them, you know, about what about the census? Did you, and they, a lot of them, well, I don't know what you're talking about. But hopefully with the help of everyone, and I know Kevin has done an outstanding job of trying to promote this and get it out there and to everybody that it is so easy to do, I think, this go around much more so than it has been in the past. And the reason why it's so important to us, and we don't want anybody to feel uneasy. In this day and time, I know we live in a society that, you know, when somebody comes up to your door, you start, you know, wondering, oh, Lord, what's going on? Or is this a hoax? Or is this some kind of a scam or whatever? But, folks, this is real. And this is how that we get a great deal of our funding. And, for instance, we, Clay County, will have the opportunity to receive close to $1 million through the governor's budget that he has, and it's called the Governor Support Grant that he's given out to counties and cities. And the application process started the 30th of April, and we're in the process of getting looking into all that and getting all the details worked out. I was on the phone day before yesterday with our rep at the governor's office, and it can be used for a lot of different things, but it is specified from different categories that it can be used at. And but this is based on, the funding is based on population as published by the U.S. Census Bureau.
Well, you know,
that
something
right
I think
how that, you know, that we're able to have the opportunity to get the money that we're going to be receiving.
You know, probably they may have missed a good shot through the Census Bureau. Maybe they should have tied the stimulus check to the folks that have turned in their census form.
Well,
get them first. They probably couldn't do that, but that would have been incentive, right?
Yeah. But absolutely, folks out there listening, please,
yes.
If you've not already filled out your census, please do so. And if you need any information or any help, contact myself at my office or Kevin at the chamber.
Absolutely.
Or any of us, and we'll get you some help. We'll get you in touch with somebody that can help you do that, because it's for all of us. And I mean, and Kevin, you might give them an update about what, when we don't count somebody over an average, and we do this every 10 years, and over an average of 10 years, it's we lose in the neighborhood around, what, 10,000, something like that?
Per person, yeah, the number, and it varies by state. A study was conducted by a major university, whose name escapes me right now, but I know it, everybody would know it and recognize it, shows that almost $1,100 in various types of funding is lost in Tennessee. Now, that varies from state to state, for every person not counting. So if we miss a person, that's let's say $1,100 a year times 10 years, that's knocking on the door of $11,000 per person. What if we just miss 50? Well, we've lost between $500,000 and $600,000 in various types of funding.
Right.
So it cannot emphasize how important it is. And I'll venture to say that probably most of the people listening to this right now have already responded. But here's a challenge for all of us. Ask people you know if they have responded. You can do a big favor to yourself and Clay County by challenging folks you know, whether it be family members or folks you go to church with or whatever. Have you responded to the census? You know, we need to work on that each individually as well.
And, you know, those that of us that are semi-computer literate, if you have friends that, you know, say, you know, I don't know how to do this, I don't know. Well, you know, offer to help them.
Absolutely.
You know, sit down and say, you know, here's what you need to do. And if you look through that thing, I know on the paper version, you have to make a whole lot more X's than you do clicks when you do it online. Because, you know, there's places in there where if you mark one answer online, it answers
right.
Three or four other questions.
Right.
And it's a whole lot simpler to do. And, of course, a lot of people, older folks, and even some younger folks, are scared to death to do things online. Because, you know, if they can't see it written out there in front of them, sometimes it scares them. And it takes a little someone that, you know, kind of calm them down and help them through it.
And something I've learned in talking directly to the folks at the Census Bureau, our regional advisor, is the fact, so let's say you received your paper copy, but you've lost it. You've misplaced it. You cannot find it. You don't have access to that 12-number code, personal identifying code. No worries. You can complete the census if you can do it online or do it by phone simply by using your address. Now, we all know what our address is. We may have lost that 12-digit number, identifying number, but you can do it that way as well.
Okay, Mayor, I know you had an experience the other night, first time.
County Commission meeting. Yes, and I want to thank everyone. Especially want to thank Kevin over here with the chamber that helped us get that set up. We had a couple of meetings. We had a plan in the week before, and it seemed to go off pretty well. And Monday night, we had our first county commission meeting on teleconference, and we were live on the chamber's Facebook page. And the only downside to that, to everyone out there, you had to look at me, and I'm sorry for that. And But it seemed like it went pretty well, and we're hoping that I've had a few folks that have mentioned something about it that maybe we could look at doing something like that, you know, in the future, maybe not to that extent, being live, but maybe doing it and then playing it back maybe over Facebook or something like that. And that's certainly a possibility, and we'll look into that. But hopefully we're going to be able to start maybe having our meetings back in a semi-normal form here in the next week and stuff, because we're getting into budget season, and it's we got to start having some budget meetings and stuff. And I know that we've got a new schedule that the commission approved the other night as far as our meeting schedules, and Kevin's got that, and I think he's gonna be gracious enough to put that on Facebook, the Chamber's Facebook, with us as well, and we'll certainly run that in the paper for everyone. But yeah, it seemed to go pretty well.
Okay, some of the things that happened the other night at the meeting then.
Yeah, we had, of course, the notaries that we had. We had five notaries at the commission approved, and then, of course, we had our motions that we normally do, or approving of our minutes, our commission meeting for the month of March. I know that's saying, well, what happened to April? Well, we had to cancel April out because everything really, you know, hit pretty hard about that time. So we postponed, or we canceled the April meeting and moved it on up. And also we had our trustees report that the commission approved. Had a resolution. We had five resolutions that the commission took in consideration, and they approved all five of them. One of them was the resolution to renew and amend the contract for the ambulance service with between the county and the city. And the commission they approved that. They had due to increase in their health insurance, and we're all facing that right now. The county. We're facing that as well, and also with some retirement increases and stuff that they had to amend that contract. We had to amend that contract for an increase of $30,000. And so that's the county right now. They subcontract out the ambulance service to the city, which city they do an outstanding job. They do a great job, and staff they have down there, I've always said that I'd put them up against anyone because they do a great job. And of course, you know, I know we're back on, hopefully, you know, that we're back on track with our hospital, and everything's heading in the direction that we've been praying it would go in for a long time.
I have been there, so
okay,
been to the clinic.
Well, thank you. And but up until that time, and even now, our ambulance service has been our hospital or emergency room, and they've done an outstanding job and still doing an outstanding job, and we appreciate as well as all those folks that are on the front line during this COVID-19, the pandemic that we're continuing to go through. And I know that Kevin mentioned, you know, that our number had increased up a little bit, but we expected that, and when things starts opening back up and everything, you know, we expect that, you know, might be seeing some numbers go up a little bit more and everything. But we continue to ask everyone to please continue to abide by the guidelines of the CDC and the state of Tennessee. That's what we're doing. And the social distancing, just to continue that, doing all you can for that. And the gatherings, to keep in mind, I know that we want to encourage everybody to continue to do that as well.
Okay, and talking of the gathering, but one little quick insert there, and that is there is going to be a modified graduation ceremony for our seniors this year, and it's very limited, and I think it's been publicized on Facebook, the amount of people that are going to be there and how it's going to be carried on.
And I
think they're planning, I know they're going to do a video of it so that folks weren't there can see that video on their side.
That's great, and I know the Chamber has done an outstanding job of getting all the seniors' pictures, I guess, out there and been displayed, and they look good. They really look good. If any of the parents or grandparents or loved ones or good buddies or whatever, you know, wants to go out there, I guess, Kevin, I may be overstepping my bounds here a little bit, but they'd like to have a picture made by it.
Well, they're welcome to do it. Okay. Yeah. Now, we're doing in phases. There's, I believe, 63 seniors. We're doing them 21 at a time because that's basically all the sign will hold. The memory, it's just like a computer. It's got a memory just like a computer or a smartphone, so that's all we can put on there at once. But every senior has been dozens and dozens of times. Now, we're actually right now starting our second cycle. So the first group that was on there, letter A through about H, I believe, or whatever, is on there now. And we're letting them stay up 3 days at a time. So we'll make a full two runs, and every CCHS senior will have been up there dozens and dozens and dozens of times. Yeah, if you want to stand underneath the sign, have your picture made next year, picture.
What, how are you going to know when you're going to come up?
Well, you'll maybe need to call us ahead. Well, we're posting on Facebook which letters of the alphabet are on there right now.
Okay, that sounds great. Yeah. That's what I wanted to let them know that.
We still on?
Oh, yeah, well, we're
going to go to a break.
I think we're going to try to go then.
Okay, and the other resolutions were budget amendment for the general fund, and we're getting it close to the end of the fiscal year, so we start having some budget amendments, moving some funds around to finish out the year. And the school system had a couple of resolutions, budget amendments that they did. And my office, Lisa, always, every year, she turns in a resolution to request unclaimed accounts that are remitted to the Tennessee Department of Treasury. And that's they hold those for about 18 months, and then anything that is not claimed, we can, if we put that request in, that money will come to the county. And so we do that every year that she that wants me to do that. I made a mistake. I do that all the time, it seems like, but she corrected me on that whenever we were at on Facebook doing our planning. I made a mention of that, and I said, I think every 2 years. And she told me, she said, Dale Reagan, you know better than that. And I said, well, it's every 18 months. So that's whenever we can, if any funds are out there at the state and no one has claimed them, then those funds, and sometimes those funds will add up. And so anyway, we had that. As well as, and too, Thomas, I might take this opportunity to let everybody know and give everybody an update about the county. What we're doing here in the county as of right now, we're still the building, the complex, and I know the chamber and the library is still closed to public access, but we're still there. We're not serving the public. We are serving the public, but we're doing it at I don't want to call it a drive-by, but I guess down there at the office it's a walk-by, and most of the offices down there you can come down, and they're serving the public. We may have to do it through the window, through some of the windows, and a couple of the offices are making an opportunity to, if you'll contact them, they'll take care of your needs there. But coming the 18th of May is when we've got a projection that we'll open back up to where that we start letting the public come in. But we still going to do it in a fashion of going by the CDC rules. We would ask everyone if you feel sick, if you feel any cautions about anything at all, we ask you to please not come into the building, and that's just for the safety of yourself and our employees and everybody as well. But we'll see here in another week. We'll look at it, and if something changes, we'll certainly get the word back out to everybody. But hopefully that everything will continue to go in the trend that we're going in. Lord be our helper, and we can gradually start phasing this thing back in. I know that it's amazing, that a virus, something like that has affected the country like it has. But it's like Benjamin Franklin, I think, made the statement one time that a little leak can sink a great big ship. And
yeah,
that happens.
We're all familiar with a little Dutch boy that stuck his finger in the hole of the dike, aren't we? That kept the whole town from washing away. But this is quite a bit different than that. But okay, now I haven't seen any projections for sales tax revenues. Have we had any reports on that for the since this started?
Our sales tax up until this hit was holding pretty good, and matter of fact, it was increasing some. And since the internet sales that are starting to show up now, that where people are doing online buying, and so that has helped quite a bit. And I can imagine that dropped off a whole lot because a lot of people are probably picked up a
whole lot.
And that is something that is really, I know that they worked on that for several years at the legislators. And so, I mean, that has helped us quite a bit and everything, because we were amazed when we started getting some of the numbers back on that. And the thing about it is, it's wherever they deliver to, or your physical address is where that
sales tax follows that physical address.
Yes.
And that's something that's taken a long time to finally get worked out and settled.
Yeah, it's because a lot of folks said, "Well, if I order it here in the city and they deliver it to Mama's house down in out in the county, what happens?" Well, that sales tax comes to the city because that's the physical address of where it was ordered at and everything. So, and vice versa.
It'd been nice if we could got all the sales tax in Tennessee for all of Amazon products sold in Tennessee, wouldn't it?
Yes.
That would have healed a lot of places. Well, guess what? Anything really important left that we need to get?
That I just wanted to make sure that everybody understood, and we will do the new listings of the meetings, upcoming meetings. The county commission will meet again at planning on June the 15th. And June the 22nd will be the county commission meeting, and we'll be tying in budget meetings with that as well. And June the 29th, we'll get back on schedule with the planning meetings and a budget meeting if needed. Hopefully, you will have things worked out to where that we may not have to have a budget meeting that night, but we don't know. And then we're back on schedule the first Monday night in July, be July the 6th. The county commission is planned to meet again and reconvene. And that is based off of, and hopefully, that we be able to start, having our meetings back in a semi-normal fashion. If not, we'll continue to embark on the good graces of Kevin over here and Twin Lakes, and we thank them so much for helping us out there as well, and continue to do the work of the business of the county as best that we can.
And with that, then, as we said a minute ago, we're drawing down toward the end of the program again today. Seems like we just don't ever get hardly enough time, do we? But we just, Mayor Reagan just drawed out a number for the birthday cake, and that number today, the winner was Will Smith.
All right.
Congrats, Will.
Yeah.
So, Will, I hope you...
Happy birthday, Willie.
And you can thank Grandma for calling your name in.
There you go.
And so you can come over by the chamber office. Kevin said give them a little call so they can expect
just
you
to make sure we've got everything ready.
And ready for you, and they'll hand you out one of those. And you can take that over to the Dairy Queen, get you one of those cakes, and enjoy that. And with that, I guess we're about to run out of time. And we really appreciate being able to be here. We appreciate all the folks that advertise on this show, our guests today. Thank them for being here. And I'd like to thank Kenny Westmoreland last Thursday for giving me a day off. And we really enjoy coming into your home each Thursday morning here at 9 o'clock and remind you that there will be a rebroadcast this evening at 6 p.m. And also that these shows are streamed on the Del Hall Horizon website. So you can go there and listen to it. So you've got all kinds of opportunities to listen. And with that, I guess it's time we shut everything down. And may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. And hopefully here on WVFB FM 101.5 Kick Turnty, you'll be with us again next week. And with that, good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.